The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, August 7th through Sunday, August 13th, 2023. The commentary for the month of August was written by Alan W. Farabee, an Episcopal priest, retired cathedral deacon, husband, father, and grandfather who lives in Wesley Chapel, Florida. The commentary for Monday, August 7th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 18a. Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? How often do we see but not see? I once met my wife at the airport as she returned from a business trip. She had taken an earlier shuttle and arrived an hour ahead of my expectation. When she entered the waiting area and walked right past me, it was a few moments before I saw her. Jesus' disciples are in a fit of anxiety because they have forgotten, and Jesus, in frustration, says, "Why are you talking about having no bread?" We can imagine Jesus shaking his head in disbelief. "Did we not just feed the people with a few loaves and fish? Don't you see? Can't you understand that blessing abounds?" And he details the whole hillside supper, how many baskets full of bread were left over after the people ate their fill, and the disciples admit, a lot. It is always this way with God. Blessing is all around. We just don't always see it. Yesterday was a day of great light. Let this be the day that we see. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Mark, chapter 8, verses 11 to 21. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, asking him for a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left them, and getting into the boat again, he went across to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to bring any bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." They said to one another, "It is because we have no bread." And becoming aware of it, Jesus said to them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" They said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" And they said to him, 7. Then he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" And the moving forward question for this Monday, August 7th, is, how might remembering help you to see? And now we'll turn to the commentary for Tuesday, August 8th, the feast day of St. Dominic. It begins with a passage from Mark, chapter 8, verse 24. "And the man looked up and said, 'I can see people, but they look like trees walking.'" "Last year I had cataracts removed from both of my eyes," says the writer, "and the doctor corrected my astigmatism using laser technology. When my sight returned, I could hardly believe my eyes. I could read the road signs without glasses. The world seemed brighter and more focused. I could see. Can it be a surprise that healing and hope appear in the gospel as gradually seeing clearly? One of the earliest tropes on baptism in the Christian tradition is the healing of the blind man. St. Augustine of Hippo compares our baptism to the gift of sight. But sight doesn't always arrive with the perfect clarity. Seeing the world, seeing ourselves, seeing God, at first it may seem like trees walking, blurry, shimmering, just beyond our reach. But Jesus touches again, and we can see everything clearly. The extra touch makes the difference. Don't give up. Keep looking. And if the world is still a bit blurry, let Jesus touch you again. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Mark, chapter 8, verses 22 to 33. They came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village, and when he had put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his home, saying, "Do not even go into the village." Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And the moving forward suggestion for this Tuesday, August 8th, is quite simple. Pray today for clear vision. The commentary for Wednesday, August 9th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 35. "For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." Jesus insists that true life is found in the great reversals, servant and master, first and last, losing and finding. True greatness is found by serving, and that which appears weak is the true strength. Even for us who follow Jesus, this project is never easy. These great reversals don't make common sense. This hierarchy isn't rewarded by the world, yet this is the way of God, according to the witness and example of Jesus of Nazareth. As St. Paul writes to the Philippians, "Let the same mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus, who emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness." I don't think such a premise can be debated. It is unprovable. But this reversal is the way of life. So says Jesus, and I believe him. And now I'll read the full passage here from Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 9, verse 1. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake, for the sake of the gospel, will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And he said to them, Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, can you see past the lure of great accomplishment to see that true life is as simple as letting go? The commentary for Thursday, August 10th, begins with a passage from the Old Testament, a book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11, verse 4a. So David sent messengers to get her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. It is a sordid story from beginning to end. A powerful man wants something and makes everyone bend to his will. There's no good spin that can be put on this story. David, king of Judah and Israel, sees the beautiful Bathsheba, wants her, makes sure her husband, an inconvenient impediment to his will, is killed in battle and takes Bathsheba for himself. Most of our sin is not so virulent or reckless, but it still distorts our lives. Augustine of Hippo was scarred for life by a prank he and his friends played, stealing pears from an orchard for no reason except that they wanted them. When I was in sixth grade, I accepted an invitation from a girl to dance, only to break that date when a more attractive girl, so I thought, asked me. Life went on for me and presumably both girls, but my soul has never forgotten, nor should it. The remarkable thing is that God used even David for great things, despite his grievous sin. God is still doing that with you, and I hope with me. And now I'm going to read the full passage from 2 Samuel, chapter 11. This is verses 1 through 27. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab with his officers and all Israel with him. They ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. It happened late one afternoon when David rose from his couch and was walking about on the roof of the king's house that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. David sent someone to inquire about the woman. It was reported, "This is Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." So David sent messengers to get her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Now she was purifying herself after her period. Then she returned to her house. The woman conceived, and she sent and told David, "I am pregnant." So David sent word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked how Joab and the people fared and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." Uriah went out of the king's house, and there followed him a present from the king. But Uriah slept at the entrance of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and did not go down to his house. When they told David Uriah did not go down to his house, David said to Uriah, "You have just come from a journey. Why did you not go down to your house?" Uriah said to David, The ark and Israel and Judah remain in booths, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open field. Shall I then go to my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As you live, and as your soul lives, I will not do such a thing. Then David said to Uriah, remain here today also, and tomorrow I will send you back. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day. And on the next day, David invited him to eat and drink in his presence and made him drunk. And in the evening, he went out to lie on his couch with the servants of his Lord, but he did not go down to his house. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. In the letter he wrote, set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting, and then draw back from him so that he may be struck down and die. As Joab was besieging the city, he assigned Uriah to the place where he knew there were valiant warriors. The men of the city came out and fought with Joab, and some of the servants of David among the people fell. Uriah the Hittite was killed as well. Then Joab sent and told David all the news about the fighting, and he instructed the messenger, when you have finished telling the king all the news about the fighting, then if the king's anger rises, and if he says to you, why did you go so near the city to fight? Did you not know that they would shoot from the wall? Who killed Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal? Did not a woman throw an upper millstone on him from the wall so that he died at Thebez? Why did you go so near the wall? Then you shall say, your servant Uriah the Hittite, is dead too. So the messenger went and came and told David all that Joab had sent him to tell. The messenger said to David, the men gained an advantage over us and came out against us in the field, but we drove them back to the entrance of the gate. Then the archers shot at your servants from the wall. Some of the king's servants are dead, and your servant, Uriah the Hittite, is dead also. David said to the messenger, thus you shall say to Joab, do not let this matter trouble you, for the sword devours now one and now another. Press your attack on the city and overthrow it, and encourage him. When the wife of Uriah heard that her husband was dead, she made lamentation for him. When the mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. And the moving forward question for this day is, how can you quash your selfish impulses? And now we'll turn to the commentary for Friday, August 11th, a day we celebrate the feast day of Clare of Assisi. It begins with a passage from Psalm 88, verse 19. My friend and my neighbor, you have put away from me, and darkness is my only companion. During our lives, there are times when the light seems to be gone. We see no way forward. Our hopes have crashed. We feel deserted, and it is hard to go on. These are the dark nights of the soul to which spiritual writers allude. If not depression, then they are the no-way-out times. I remember the bleakest time of my priesthood. I had served a parish as well as I could, and our relationship still ended. I felt abandoned by God, rejected by God's people, and remembered no more. And darkness fell like my only companion. I could have prayed Psalm 88 over and over like a mantra of hopelessness. Some of the psalms are like that. It is what makes them so irresistible and compelling. They give no quarter to false hope and Pollyannish wishes. In these times, we don't need to hear false cheer from friends or family or even scripture. Sometimes we must be in the shadows. And Psalm 88 is our theme song for those moments. The light is still there, even when we feel shrouded and forsaken. Don't skip over the darkness. God is still there. And I'm going to read the full Psalm 88 for you now. O Lord, God of my salvation, when at night I cry out in your presence. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like those who have no help, like those forsaken among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a thing of horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call on you, Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the shades rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your saving help in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry out to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me? Wretched and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am desperate. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dread assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. From all sides they close in on me. You have caused friend and neighbor to shun me. My companions are in darkness. And the moving forward suggestion for this Friday: revisit the Psalms, even the difficult ones. Now we'll turn to the commentary for Saturday, August 12th. Today's the day we celebrate Florence Nightingale. This commentary begins with a passage from Mark 9, verse 40, "Whoever is not against us is for us." In this passage, the disciples anxiously seek, like all followers, to control the situation. We tried to stop him because he was not following us. I will admit to more times like that in my ministry than I should have allowed. It is a matter of control and forgetting who is truly in control. Fortunately, at this point in Scripture, the proclamation of the coming of the kingdom of God has not ossified into the church. When movements become institutions, rules often take precedence over good news. Think about how often we get upset when somebody not on the committee does something to revitalize the church. We find it challenging to recognize partners in good news when they don't bear the right label. Yet it is the good deed that counts. As Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." It is that simple. Why are we so blind or stubborn? And now I'll read from the full passage of Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 41. "They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, 'The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed he will rise again.' But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What were you arguing about on the way?' But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with which one was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, 'Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all.' Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me.' John said to him, 'Teacher, We saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. And the moving forward question for today, how much more powerful would our witness be if we welcomed into our group all who are doing good deeds? And the commentary for Sunday, August 13th, the 11th day of Pentecost, begins with a passage from Genesis 37, verse 28c, and they took Joseph to Egypt. You knew it was going to happen like this. Out of 12 brothers, one was the father's favorite. He was the family star. He flaunted it, wearing his special coat and taunting his brothers. It was classic sophomoric behavior, always destined to crash and burn. Joseph's family was the model of dysfunction. His father cheated his brother and father, ran away, and took years to recover. When Joseph found his brothers grazing the sheep, their resentment boiled over. They stripped him of his fancy coat and threw him in a well to perish. As luck or providence would have it, one of the brothers convinced the others not to kill Joseph, but to enslave him. So they pulled him out of the pit, sold him to traders, and off he went to Egypt to be forgotten. But God did not forget Joseph. Down the road, he became the lifeline for survival of his dysfunctional family, and God used him to bring life to the world. And the moving forward statement for this day, the next time you find yourself at the bottom of a pit, remember Joseph and don't lose heart. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let's pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.